Hi guys, glad to be here. It's been a beautiful morning so far. I totally enjoyed your reading, Barb. Thank you for sharing. A couple of things. This recording of Experience Your Perfect Soul, which is the name of Michael Langford's book, which contains W. Norman Cooper quotes, Catherine Piedrick quotes, Joel S. Goldsmith quotes, Eva Bell Werber quotes, William Samuel quotes, Elise Morgan quotes, and Ruby Nelson quotes. These quotes were selected by Michael Langford as direct path quotes. And they were put into one book called Experience Your Perfect Soul, A Joyful Path to Self-Realization. And each of these, what Michael Langford calls Christian mystics, have their own books as well. And so, fortunately for us, Michael Langford has read over 2,000 spiritual books many moons ago. And so I suspect that he has probably also read all of the books that these seven different Christian mystics have put out. But he has selected only the direct path quotes from each of those books and compiled his own book called Experience Your Perfect Soul, which gives all of us an opportunity to enjoy what I'm just going to say might be the creme de la creme. I would like to make note that rather than this time being advertised as Experience Your Perfect Soul, which is the name of Michael Langford's book, since I'm sharing that, if I could just have that be changed to No Fluff, No Fluff. That's the title I'm giving to the time I'm sharing here in the sanctuary with all of you guys. And that title just occurred to me because that's how I experience Michael Langford's sharings in all of his books. There's just not a lot of fluff for me. And so, with that being said, it wasn't necessarily my idea at all to record this. It was Michael Langford's idea. It had occurred to me as I was reading through Experience Your Soul for the first time myself, and it was a totally fresh reading for me, except for one portion of Catherine Piedrick that I had heard Regina share when she was sharing after a prayer circle. And that's been quite a while because Regina has not been doing prayer circle for quite a while now. But it was something that touched my heart. And at the time, I was not aware that it was from Experience Your Perfect Soul. I thought it was a Catherine Piedrick book itself. So when I ordered Experience Your Perfect Soul after researching Catherine Piedrick on Amazon, I just bought Experience Your Perfect Soul and then figured out that it was a Michael Langford book after I got it. And so I was very taken with the reading of this book as I was reading. Sorry, I think I might have dropped the mic. So after, pretty much three quarters of the way through, it was occurring to me that I would like to reread this book. I just felt to do that. And so, interestingly enough, shortly after that, I had that occur to me in January, because I've been reading this book for quite some time now, here in the room. It has not been like a quick reading. It has taken me some time. And with that being said, shortly in January, I received an email from Michael asking if In fact, I could record Experience Your Perfect Soul. And if I was interested in doing that, that it might be best, through a couple of emails, that it would be best to start at the beginning. And so I agreed to do that. And fortunately, Regina had some recording time available. And one of the reasons, or several of the reasons for this, I'm going to read to you right now from Michael Langford's note to me. And I won't be reading you all of it, just what's in relation to reading Experience Your Perfect Soul. He says, I am glad that it had already occurred to you to reread the book, Experience Your Perfect Soul. When he had emailed me with the suggestion of recording Experience Your Perfect Soul, he said he was envisioning the entire book being recorded, not just the portion, where I was. He wanted the whole book recorded, and I get that. It would also mean that people who are on a very tight budget, who could not afford the book, would be able to listen to your sharings free of charge. And then he goes on to say, of course, he would like the whole thing recorded, not just portions of it. He says, I think it would be worthwhile because you would be giving quite a gift to people by doing that. Because I do not think the Experience Your Perfect Soul quotes are available anywhere in audio, either the Awakening Together website or Regina's website would end up with a precious body of wisdom not available in audio form anywhere else. So I'm going to go down a little bit. And he said, I think some people do not realize that the name of your sharing on the Awakening Together schedule, and that has been previously posted as Experience Your Perfect Soul. He's saying, I think some people don't realize that the name of your sharing on the Awakening Together schedule, Experience Your Perfect Soul, is also the name of the book you are reading from. And so hence I'm changing the name of my sharing to No Fluff. So he says in quotes, the following quotes by W. Norman Cooper are from the book Finding Yourself. That is the way it is written in Experience Your Perfect Soul. However, when read that way to people who are listening, who do not have the printed book, it leaves the impression that you are reading from the book Finding Yourself. If people go out and buy all 10 of the books that are being quoted from that would be a huge amount of money. It would be nice if people knew that all 7 teachers being quoted are being quoted from the book Experience Your Perfect Soul. And then he says there are 2 editions of the book, Experience Your Perfect Soul, one with candles on the cover and one with a sunset over the ocean on the cover. And mine is, what is mine? Hang on. Mine is the sunset. He says, now here is some information about the book. Experience Your Perfect Soul that I promised. I selected all the quotes and experience your perfect soul based on the following criteria. And I shared that with you guys last week, but it's worth sharing again. So here we go. These are Michael Langford's criteria for the selection of the quotes from these seven mystics, Christian mystics, he calls them, in Experience Your Perfect Soul. The first one is no distractions or detours. Hence the name that I'm giving my program, and I'm calling it No Fluff. So number two, only the most essential quotes for the purpose of helping people to directly experience the reality. Some people call the reality the true self. So we could also say only the most essential quotes for the purpose of helping people to directly experience true self. And the third criteria is as few quotes as possible with Christian terms or jargon. So the reason for this was to make this book usable for everyone, even people who do not like Christian terms or jargon. And he says, because of what is stated in number one and number two, and number one was no distractions or detours, and number two was only the most essential quotes for the purpose of helping people to directly experience true self. He says, it is as important as, oh, he says, because of those two quotes above, leaving out the quotes I left out is as important as including the quotes I included. I would call the seven teachers Christian mystics. I am using the word mystic to mean someone who is more interested in direct experience than in accumulating ideas, beliefs, concepts, etc. Experience Your Perfect Soul is one of the five books that are the five steps in the 20 steps to Mananasa that can be found in the book, How to Practice the Teachings, or the book, Mananasa. In other words, Experience Your Perfect Soul is one of the five most essential books. Then he goes on to share a little bit about the seven Christian mystics. He says, William Samuel and W. Norman Cooper, and so W. Norman Cooper will be the first one that we will start to read because that's the beginning of the book. So William Samuel and W. Norman Cooper have a very similar emphasis. However, they use very different words. Catherine Piedrick and Joel Goldsmith have a similar emphasis in that they both make it very clear that the material is not included in the spiritual. They also use very different words. Ruby Nelson, Eva Bell Werber, and Elise Morgan all have something in common. They are writing from the standpoint as though the Supreme Being is doing the writing, or as though the Supreme Being is talking to you. In other words, when they write I or me, They are not referring to Ruby or Eva or Elise. The I or me is as though the Supreme Being is talking to you. The book Experience Your Perfect Soul conveys the very highest, most pure wisdom. The book The Seven Steps to Awakening also conveys the very highest, most pure wisdom with different styles of communication. Now for a humorous note. I had more difficulty deciding on a title for Experience Your Perfect Soul than I have ever had with a book. I actually ordered a proof of the book with the title Discover Your Blissful Soul. I have that printed proof here. I don't think I have ever ordered a proof and then decided on a different title before. Take care. With love, Michael. And so that is how the genesis of how this recording came about. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. I would like to also share a song that came to me as Barb was sharing when she was reading from Eva Bell Werber, and she mentioned, and it had said, was speaking maybe to the idea of war. And one of the in The Direct Means to Eternal Bliss, one of Michael Langford's book, he asks us to consider option A and option B. And option A are the zillions of forms of suffering and sorrow that ego preservation, ego attention, being absorbed in ego offers to us. And one of those is war. And so Barb was sharing, you know, even in our present tense experience in the relative world, we are still looking at war. And one of the statistics Michael Langford shares is that there have been over 15,000 wars in a 5,000 year period. So that made me think of a song by Sting, and let me just see if I can get that to come up again. I've had some technical issues. I made the mistake of uploading an update this morning, and it's kind of balled up my phone, my iPad, and my iMac. So here we go. I'm hoping this works. It's called History Will Teach Us Nothing, and it's a time to relax. It's about 5 minutes long, but listen to the words and hopefully appreciate it. Let me know if you can hear it okay. Thank you.
basic silence. In the prisons of the distant past, security and human systems, we're told will always, always last. Emotions are the same, the blind faith is the max. Without the breath of real freedom, we're getting nowhere fast. God is dead, and the actor plays his part. His words of fear will find their way to a place in your heart. Without the voice of reason, every face with its own curse. Without freedom from the past, things can only get worse.
So yeah, sooner or later, you know. Sooner or later. And experience your perfect soul is all about sooner. I mean, right now. Right now. Yep. Okay, guys, I am going to dive right in. I'm very much looking forward to rereading Experience Your Perfect Soul. And we are going to begin at the beginning in chapter one with William Samuel. And the following quotes by William Samuel are from the book, A Guide to Awareness and Tranquility. And these are direct path quotes, once again, selected by Michael Langford and shared with us. So chapter one, William Samuel. The declarations of the heart can be presented intellectually only with the greatest bumbling. How perfect is that? Oh my goodness, yeah. Sometimes I certainly feel like I bumble, you know. The declarations of the heart can be presented intellectually only with the greatest bumbling. I forthwith warn the unwary reader that the intellect will never understand the full meaning of the heart's declarations. And this is in quotes, the two are at enmity with one with the other. And I believe the word, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. I don't know if the if both the N and the M are both pronounced, but I know I've looked this word up before. And I think it means like they're in real opposition to one another. They hate one another. The two are at enmity, at war, one with the other. Not at war, but they don't intersect. I think. They don't conflict. The heart isn't in conflict about anything. Ego is always in conflict. That's that, you know, choice A and choice B that we heard in the song over and over and over. You know, history teaches nothing. Why? Because we repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again. That's the bumbling. That's the intellect. The intellect is that peace of mind that wants to understand the declarations of the heart. And this is saying, I'm warning you, if you're not wary of that idea that your intellect will consistently try to intellectualize everything. Turn everything into thought, something that's comfortably known. Thank you, Becky. She looked up, and how is it pronounced? Does it actually say in the dictionary, give a pronunciation of that so I can learn that again? So it is, you do say the N then, enmity, okay. Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay, so the two are, there's a friction between the two, you know, this declaration of the heart that's pure, that's never sullied in any way ever. But when it's, you know, arises and we are stuck in the intellect or stuck in thought or trying to figure out what that declaration of the heart means, we add on to it. It's pure. And remains in purity as purity, but it's the bumbling aspect, Reverend Jacqueline spoke to that morning, that tendency to want to think about it, figure it out, give it some sort of meaning that's based on the past. And even, you know, Sting in his song, throw the past away. He's saying, throw the past away. That's why history repeats itself, because we cling to a past. But here's the warning for the unwary reader that doesn't, you know, realize that the intellect always wants to jump in with the I know mind. The warning is that you will never understand the full meaning of the heart's declarations. By using intellect, the two, and this is the quote, the two are at enmity, one with the other. Therefore, reader, to the best of your ability, examine this book with your heart, leaving the intellect out of it. That's perfect. I mean, that's just so perfect. That fits so beautifully with what Reverend Jacqueline spoke to this morning. And the first portion for me in my aspiration was let go of the burden of, quote, knowing something. You know, stick with the I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. So let that go. So we're being asked, even as we begin the reading of this book, to the best of our ability, whatever that is, to examine this book with the heart, leaving the intellect out of it. So when we notice ourselves thinking, and sometimes I notice that occurring to me, you know, even when I'm listening to maybe Reverend Jacqueline, I'll just use her as an example. Something she says resonates within me, and I notice the mind drift from the next present moment of what Jacqueline is saying, and it's drifting to an I thought. Something that seems, you know, relevant to a me. And it's not to say that I can't make note of that and take that into contemplation later, but it feels more relevant to stay, you know, present with what Reverend Jacqueline is sharing. And then maybe afterwards, in a time of silence or a time, you know, later in the day, I can take that into contemplation. One of the practices that Michael Langford very much encourages, as was his practice, he talks about going to see Jay Krishnamurti speak, and I know Regina has shared this as well, there being a crowd of 1,000 people at the gatherings, and when Jay Krishnamurti would get up to leave and, you know, kind of let everybody know it's you're good to go, everybody would immediately begin talking and leave the room, and Michael Langford would sit for an hour contemplating what Jay Krishnamurti just said. And that's such great advice, because it's so easy to right away, after we've heard wisdom, to, you know, have our distractions pop right in. Our just, you know, I'm more interested in, you know, something to eat. My belly's growling at me, or I want to know what the person next would you think, or how did you like the talk, or, you know, talk. We start talking right away. And so very much encouraging when we hear wisdom, you know, in your own mind. When you hear wisdom in your own mind, how important it is to reflect on that wisdom, to contemplate that wisdom, to take it in, soak it in, rather than allow our mind to be distracted. As was evidenced by, you know, 999 other people getting up and walking out of the room, and Michael Langford alone, still in the hall where the talk was held, alone with his eyes closed, contemplating what was said, taking it to heart. Yep. So then it goes on to say, with each subsequent reading, the heart will recognize more, and the intellect argue with less. And isn't that the point we're trying to get to, where, you know, it becomes, each time we stay with the wisdom, rather than allowing thought to interrupt what was just said and start to question in your mind. Start to question in a way that's not helpful. Simply repeat in the mind what was said. What did Jay Krishnamurti just say? Not what I think he said. That's the thinking mind getting involved. And that's why staying in present moment, listening without distraction, not letting my train of thought interrupt what I'm listening to with what my own mind starts chattering with. And we, you know, right now, at least for myself, I am that reader. To the best of my ability right now, seemingly trying to do that. So he's saying the repetition too of the reading, with each subsequent reading, the heart, not the intellect, the heart will recognize more. And the intellect argue the less with less. It won't come in that questioning sort of a way where we're like unsure or doubting. There will be that, you know, resonance within yourself that yes. And Barb experiences that, she said, as a feeling. And Carla was sharing the noticing of that, you know, with her white towels. Maybe in direct experience, in a, you know, in life, in the relative world, just that simple noticing. I had something occur this morning where I had a thought pop in, and I noticed the thought, and I actually said in my mind as well, like something like, oh no, you don't, or I see you, or something of the sort, acknowledging that, you know, I could have attached to that, but I noticed it instead and just said no. And I recognized in a way, like from the code, that was simply from the code appearing in my mind. I don't have to be stuck to that in any way, shape, or form. That's simply passing through. I see you. Now you can go. So I did. Acknowledged it and let it go. And that's that intellect. Arguing with less, as we let the heart recognize over and over and over again through subsequent reading, subsequent practice of meditation, consistent willingness to see differently, taking, as Reverend Jacqueline said, that 5 minutes at the top of the hour, or as our lesson today asks us to once again do. And I'm trying to, in my mind, recall the lesson today. It's escaping me at the moment. Maybe if I close my eyes and am silent, it will come. So just hang on one second with me. I know yesterday was I am spirit. How about a leg up, somebody? Anybody know today's lesson? I know I listened to Reverend Karen Worth for 30 minutes this morning. And she was sharing about being confident. Being confident as that one self united with my creator, at one with every aspect of creation, unlimited in power and in peace. And then, so nobody knows today's lesson. Nobody's going to type on the board what today's lesson is. Somebody must know, truly. Okay, so back to the reading. Yeah, it's lesson 98, but I can't remember what it is. It's escaping me at the moment. Ah, I will accept my part in God's plan for salvation, yes. And Reverend Karen Worth was encouraging us to be confident that how we show up is not, she was sharing, be confident in acceptance of however it shows up. You are part of God's plan for salvation. And she had some resistance to how it seemed to appear in form. And she was not confident that it should have been that way or should have occurred that way. And she recognized that she was in non-acceptance of what is as it is. And so she was encouraging herself to be confident that her part in God's plan for salvation showed up in the perfect way, maybe not in the way that the intellect wanted it to be. So yes, accepting our part in God's plan for salvation. So back to the book, I assure you that if you but touch the hem of the truth written within these pages, you will discover practical tranquility. And the practical is in italics. And that practical tranquility will be with an ensuing happiness. And this is in italics also. Beyond your greatest expectation. And one of the, and I don't know if this holds true for experience your perfect soul, but I would guess it does because it's a Michael Langford book. And at least to me, he is very, very, very consistent. And one of the things that was shared in the the other class that Jay and Regina do, which I missed again this week, it comes at a challenging time for me, and somehow I mistakenly had it in my head that it occurs on Thursday night, when in fact it is Wednesday night. And it is from the purpose of practice and effort, that particular sharing. Within that sharing that I did listen to a couple of times prior to this last sharing, was the instruction that whenever we see an italicized word, that we were to go back and repeat simply the italics on that particular page. And they were akin to practice instructions. So on this particular page that I just finished, and I'm going to read the last paragraph again, it says, I assure you that if you but touch the hem of the truth written within these pages, you will discover practical tranquility with an ensuing happiness beyond your greatest expectation. In the words in particular that are, we'll see, the words that are italicized on this page are a guide to awareness and tranquility, and that is the name of the book of quotes by William Samuel. So a guide to awareness and tranquility. And then the next word that is in italics is never. And the next word is practical, beyond your greatest expectation. So again, I'm not certain if those would be considered practice instructions for experience your perfect soul. Maybe not. And maybe I'll hear from Michael Langford with some further instructions on whether that's the case or not. I would appreciate that if you happen to be listening. One of the reasons that Michael asked me to record was because he said my particular time of sharing, he is not always available to listen at that time. So he would also appreciate a recording. So if he in fact listens, maybe he can let me know. So that was the first piece from chapter one. So this next section is called Purpose, perfect. We've been talking a lot about purpose, and also in Matthew, NTI Matthew, in the Gentle Healing Group, we talk a lot about purpose in that particular section. Purpose, scope, and promise. And promise. And I'm going to take a quick drink of water. Purpose, scope, and promise. I'm a little raspy this morning. Pine pollen is very, very thick at this time of year, and I seem to have some allergic reaction to that. So, okay, reader, I have discovered a peace of mind and tranquility that are utterly beyond belief. And with the discovery has come the ability to communicate it to others. Hallelujah. By, and this is in quotes, by peace of mind, end quote, I do not mean the ecstatic ebbing and flowing, quote, happiness of religion. I have discovered an unfluctuating, unchanging, permanent, and the word permanent is in italics, it's a permanent sense of well-being that transcends every human concept. I call it transcendent tranquility. So again, By peace of mind, I do not mean the ecstatic ebbing and flowing happiness of religion. I have discovered an unfluctuating, unchanging, permanent sense of well-being that transcends every human concept. I call it transcendent tranquility. It is the, quote, peace beyond understanding, end quote, spoken of by the saints and sages throughout history. To the special few who want it and are willing to listen, I find myself able to speak of this transcendent awareness such that they are able to understand for themselves and be it. And for me, the key there is to the special few who want it and are willing to listen. So listen, listen, semi, some, listen, and then it's got a colon, you know, so listen up. The purpose of this book is to give this awareness of tranquility to you. More than that, this volume is intended to prove to the reader that the awakening to reality and its experience of peace does not, contrary to the popular belief among students of metaphysics, it does not require the difficult step-by-step processes of metaphysics, education, experience, and, quote, unfoldment. Instead, simplicity and honesty are its keynote. Tender, childlike, simplicity and honesty are the hallmarks of reality's tranquility. And you know, I'm going to say this from a loving heart. Yesterday I was driving in the car with my husband, and I was reading from the Seven Steps to Awakening. And I was reading aloud for myself, and with my, you know, my husband also enjoys listening. And so, he's not familiar with Michael Langford, maybe to the degree that I am, but he's heard me mention the name several times. And I believe he may have asked me at some point in time, or I may have simply commented, but this comment does in fact come from a loving heart. And one of the, and I actually feel emotional about it, but one of the ways that I have described Michael Langford is a childlike simplicity that I find very endearing. And so this, here's this sentence right here. Let me wipe my tears away. Not just a second. Now I have a snot nose too. Oh God. Here we're being told. Tender, childlike simplicity and honesty are the hallmarks of reality's tranquility. Simplicity and honesty are its keynote. Simplicity and honesty, tender, childlike simplicity and honesty are the hallmarks of reality's tranquility. If this sounds preposterous, I'm sorry, if this sounds presumptuous, I will make it more so. I tell you that the nearly effortless practice, in the word practice is in italics, I tell you that the nearly effortless practice of the tender precepts spoken of in this work, they will open the reader's door to a tangible, practical, down-to-earth bedrock. Do you remember NTI talking about our foundation? Matthew talking about the foundation. Here's this talking about this down-to-earth bedrock, unfluctuating, and that's in italics, unfluctuating tranquility, such that nothing the world has to offer can prevail against it. So let me read that one more time. If this sounds presumptuous, I will make it more so. I tell you that the nearly effortless practice of the tender precepts spoken of in this work will open the reader's door to a tangible, practical, down-to-earth bedrock, unfluctuating tranquility such that nothing the world has to offer can prevail against it. I mean, could we ask for anything more than what's being offered? Truly. It says tranquility, call it equanimity, serenity, or peace, if you like, has little to do with education and less with religion. Even metaphysics, that esteemed and disparaged higher religion of the intelligentsia, just coming into its own in the highest places of human authority, even that, quote, metaphysics of the absolute, has little to do with the transcendent identity destined to survive the upheaval already begun. Yet, the reality, which is its warp and woof, is effortlessly available to the childlike, right here and now. How do I know? Because I have found it. I am it. It is I. And I'm going to end as it is 11:31, and I have gone a minute over my time already. But I love how we ended. How do I know? He says, because I have found it. I've found it. I am it. It is I. And I say amen to that. And I appreciate all of you joining with me. I look forward to going. I will mark my place and let the mic go and listen where I can for the rest of the day. Thanks, guys. Love to you all.